I believe you guys did a wonderful job this morning. I love the scripture that was read. Listen, what she said. Let no one despise you because of your youth. Let no one despise you because of your youth. But be an example to all believers in word or in speech, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, exhortation, a doctrine. Do not neglect the gifts that is in you, which are given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. I want to share with you just quickly. I'm going to be preaching a different text this morning, but these guys did such a wonderful job of showing us what worship is about. They sang their hearts out to King Jesus. They served by ushering. They served by welcoming you in. They greeted you as you entered into the church building this morning. And I just want us to do something. I want us to applaud them. Not because they deserve applause, but so they will know that we see that they're learning, that we see that they're growing in the ways of God, and that we do not despise them because of their youth. So would you help me? Would you join me this morning in just commending these guys for a job well done? I want to tell you, you guys deserve that. You did such a marvelous job this morning. You did a good, good job. And we say that a lot, don't we? You did a good job. This morning, I want to talk with you about goodness. This is our sixth fruit that I want to share with you this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to talk about goodness. Now, some of the things that we do is we tend to lump people into categories as being good people or being bad people. I want to do something a little bit different this morning. I want you to join me. I want you to voice your opinion. I'm going to call some names out based on their reputation, based on what you know about these individuals whose names I'm going to call out. I want you to say good or I want you to say bad. So listen closely. Listen closely. All right, Adolf Hitler. All right, you're going to have to do a little bit better than that because I know you're here. I can see you, and I want you to, let's be vocal about it. Adolf Hitler. Bad. I like that. Ronald Reagan. Okay. Osama bin Laden. Bad. All right, let's see here. Mother Teresa. Good. Joseph Stalin. Bad. You guys are doing really, really well with this. I want to tell you, I'm very, very proud of you. Billy Graham. Good. Brad Patterson. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in, see if you're really, really paying attention. I knew that was going to confuse some of you, but you know, I just had to, for goodness sake, I just had to do that. But, you know, we make something or someone good and bad based on our opinion of what good and what bad is. Would you agree with that? It's really subjective to who we are as individuals, and that's what we base everything on. And I want to tell you, from the very beginning of the Word of God, there are six times, six instances, six creation stories that are found in the book of Genesis that really deal with what God says. After he had created something, he said, it is good. It is good. He created man, and he looked back and he said, it is good. And then he goes on there, the Lord Jesus does, God does, and he says that it's not good for man to be alone. And so God comes to Adam with a proposition. I think you'll like this. He goes to Adam with a proposition. It's not good for man to be alone. So he said, Adam, I've got a deal for you. I'm going to give you a wife, and she's going to be perfect. Now, you men, I know you're not going to say anything. You're just going to listen because that's what wisdom does. It just listens. All right? I'm trying to help you out this morning just in advance. So, she's going to always look great. Every night, she's going to give you a massage. She's going to massage your neck. She's going to cook delicious meals. She's never going to nag or complain. In other words, she's going to be absolutely perfect. Adam looks at God and he says, okay, God, what's it going to cost me? God says, well, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. So Adam looks at God and he says, what can I get for a rib? Come on now. Come on. You know that was good. Come on. Yeah, so what can I get for a rib? Now, of course, you know that it really didn't pan out that way. But I love that God talks about in the very beginning what's good and what's not good. And we understand that it's created the universe, that when he finished, he put his stamp on it. It is good. 350 times good is used in the Old Testament. Listen to me. That's significant. 250 times in the New Testament, the word good is used. And so we've got to understand that God really expects us to understand goodness. And there are really a few things that I want to share with you this morning concerning what goodness really looks like. I want to try and help you see that. So prayerfully, we'll be able to do that before the conclusion of the service this morning. But before we do that, I want to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and following. Listen closely. I preached a message on this text May the 27th, 2012. I write them all down in my Bible. And so I'm not going to preach the message on this text solely. We're going to be doing a lot of jumping around, but this is such a good place to start. So I want you to listen to the scripture this morning. You are the light of the world. Listen, he's talking to believers. You've got to understand that. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. There's something good about light, right? And so Jesus, talking to the disciples, he tells them, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house, or to all that is in the house. Verse 16, listen to this. This is for you, and I need you to get it, okay? Verse 16 is big. Listen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, listen to the rest of it, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And glorify your Father. It's all based on how you live your life. It's all based on how you respond to obstacles. It's all based on who you decide to honor as Christ followers. Every bit of this is based on goodness, your goodness as a believer. And I need you to see that this morning. So there are three things that I want to share with you this morning concerning the Word of God. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, today, Lord, we do come before your throne of grace. We humble ourselves in your presence. We thank you so much for the children who came and they served. Lord, they didn't serve. They worshiped. Lord, they allowed us to enter into worship with them. Father, we continue to worship you, Lord, as we have worshiped through song and through prayer, through the reading of your word. Lord, now we continue to worship you. And our prayer is that you would help us to understand the big picture of what goodness is all about. And today, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in our midst. That today you would help us to see all of your goodness. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I think it's extremely hot in here this morning, so I'm going to take my jacket off. But it's okay. It's good for me to do that. All right, so if you have your bulletin, turn over on the back of that. We're getting a lot closer to having our computers fixed. We're still a ways off. We're having to get Miss Jerry's information pulled from her computer because her computer crashed and it's in a bad way. Prayerfully, in a couple of more weeks, our bulletin and our scroll will be completely back to normal. But as it is, you just have one bulletin there. Turn that thing over on the back and follow along with us as we enter into our time of worshiping God through His Word. Number one thing that I want to share with you this morning as we talk about goodness is this. Just this. Just write it down. Stamp it on your heart, but understand it. This is most of our desires. I want to be good. Wouldn't you agree with that? I want to be good. I think all of us, if we could confess this morning, we would say, you know, there's really not anything in me that wants to be bad. I want to be good. That's our desire. We really hope to be good. But reality is, it would be easy to pass this fruit over completely because it's thrown around so much today. It's kind of like love. I love this and I love that. Goodness is a lot of the same way when it comes to how we respond to it. These are some of the things we say. Tell me, for you as an individual, does this apply to you? Have you said this at one time or another? And I think all of you are going to agree, yes, there's been a time when I have made that statement. So, good morning. How many of you said good morning? Yeah. Have a good day. How many of you said have a good day? Looking good. How many of you have said looking good before? Come on, let's be honest. I just want to see a hand. Say it right now. Looking good. Thank you. All right. What about this? Good to know. You ever said that before? Yeah, that's good to know. I think we have. Many of these are things that we have said. Feeling good. You ever said that? Wake up in the morning and it's just one of those good days. You know, a lot of days we want to stay in bed, but occasionally we have that day where we wake up and feeling good. Maybe don't have those as often as you would like, but I hope you woke up this morning and you're able to say feeling good. I did. I woke up able to say that today. I'm good with that. How many of you ever said that? You're in agreement with this. I'm good with that. Yeah, you know, we're here in the South. We say things like this often, and we really want to use as few words as we can, unless you're a preacher. And I use as many words as I can because I like to preach a lot. And Miss Kim's just doing this. You sure right. And her eyes were like this big. You guys are just not fun today. Come on. All right, you got to be fun today. I feel good. Let's see. That does my heart good. How many of you have ever heard that one or said that one? That just does my heart good. When we look at our babies this morning up here serving, how many of you can say, you can confess, that does my heart good? Amen? And so we look at all of these. And so from the very beginning of our lives, as parents, our parents tell us, when we look at our babies, our little boys, and we tell them all the time to be good. Miss Kathy, have you ever told your babies that? Be good. Listen, I have to tell mine that all the time. When they're leaving to go somewhere, be good. If Ellis comes to your house, and I know he's gone to many of your homes because Ellis is going to come up and ask you, can I go to your house? That's what he does. But I always tell him to be good. For Ellis, that means something different than what I mean. You know what I'm saying? So goodness is really based on your perception of what's good and bad. Listen to what George Orwell wrote. He said, on the whole, human beings want to be good, but not too good. And not quite all the time. Did you hear that? On a whole, human beings want to be good, but not too good, and not all the time. How many of you can agree with that? I want to be good, but I don't want to be good all the time. You know, sometimes I just want to be bad. Right? Sometimes you just want to be bad. And so we're going to look at all areas of goodness this morning, and I want to try and give you a definition of what that looks like. So here it is. I want you to write this down. Get this. Goodness is doing the right thing for the right reason. Goodness is doing the right thing or the right things for the right reason. Right? I would say helping a sweet lady carry her groceries to the car would be good, wouldn't you? Yes? Yeah, this is Participation Sunday. Participation Sunday is today. So, helping a sweet lady carry her groceries out to the car would be good, yes? Yeah, isn't that good? Isn't it good? Doesn't it feel great to participate? Yeah, I like that. So you're just wanting me to move on, I can tell. All right, so here's the next one. Going to church, what would you say? Good. But you got to understand, goodness is doing the right thing for the right reasons. So if you do the right thing for the wrong reasons, then it really is not benefiting you in any shape, form, or fashion. Do you understand that concept? Especially when it comes to your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. So that's important. Why do you do the things that you do? Is it for the right reasons? Is it for the wrong reasons? Listen to what the prophet Micah wrote in Micah 6 verse 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Listen to this. Write this down, Micah 6 verse 8. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Listen to the scripture. He has showed you. It's not something that you have to wonder about. It's not something you have to worry about. God desires that you really know what goodness is all about. And he tells us this in the scripture. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Not only has he shown you, but then he lets you know, these are the requirements that I have for you on goodness. And he says to act justly, to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. Now, I want to try and give you a quick definition of these. Act justly, it literally means that you treat other people with fairness. You treat other people with fairness. That's what acting justly looks like. Loving mercy, it means that you show mercy to those who most need your mercy. Aren't there times in your life where it's understanding what forgiveness is all about, but are there not moments in your life where you have to understand that concept of loving mercy? Aren't you so thankful that God showed love and mercy to you? Yes, you are, because God didn't give you what you deserve. God isn't giving you what you deserve. Matter of fact, God has given you what you do not deserve. He has given you a Savior whose name is Jesus. So, love, mercy. But listen to this. This is the best good. Is that right, grammar? Here's the best good, and that's to walk humbly before your God. To walk humbly before your God. What does that mean? We wonder this sometimes. What does it mean, preacher, to walk humbly before my God? I want to share it with you. This is what walking humbly before God looks like. That you're not prideful. That you're not arrogant. That you're not self-centered. That you're not narcissistic. But you understand who God is. To walk humbly before your God means that when you approach God, you don't do it like this. I know that's kind of silly looking, but the gist of it, I believe, is received. When you approach the throne of God, your heart has to be in such a position of unworthiness, I think, that you understand that you're wretched and that you're a sinner. That there's nothing good in you outside God's Spirit dwelling in you. So when you approach God, you do it like this. Just an illustration to get a visual so that you can see. Father, I approach your throne. I want you to know today that I love you and that I praise you. Father, I ask that you forgive me for my quick temper, Lord. And you talk to God in such a way that your heart, the condition of your heart, is felt by God through your prayer, through your time of communication with him. You don't go to God like those in the synagogue did, the Pharisees, and they just threw their heads up and they looked at the Jew or the person beside them and they said, God, thank you that I'm not like them. Because reality is, if that's the stage of your heart, you're probably more like that individual than you care to acknowledge. And so you have to approach God very, very humbly. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may lift you up. Isn't that good? That you have that childlike faith in such a way that you understand that when you approach God, you humble yourself in his presence. You approach him. You come to a place where you understand his worthiness and his worth. And you bow before him, maybe just symbolically, spiritually speaking. You humble yourself in his presence, and then you begin the process of talking to God. Really communicating with him. And according to the scripture here in 1 Peter, it says, if you humble yourself before God, then there's going to come a time when he's going to honor you, when he's going to lift you up. That's what that means. That in due time, if you walk humbly before God, if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, then in due time, he's going to lift you up. It means that he has this place of honor for you. As a believer, as a Christ follower, understand this is really the picture of what goodness is. And all of us, I believe, we would acknowledge, yeah, I want that. I desire to be good. So let me ask you this morning, how many of you desire to be good? You do. Remember that definition, you're doing the right things for the right reasons. How many of you desire that? I desire to be good. Amen? Yeah. And the next thing is this. Just me, God working this message out for myself personally as an individual. But here it is. This is number two. I struggle being good. Oh my goodness, I struggle being good. Am I the only one that struggles being good? Or can I get a preacher, I struggle with being good too this morning. Can I get that from anyone? Yeah, amen. Yeah, so we do occasionally struggle with being good. It isn't that we don't have the desire to be good. It isn't that we really don't want to be good, but sometimes I just want to be bad. And I'm going to tell you, I'm good at being bad. Hey, thank you. Amen. That was really for me to say amen on. You didn't have to do that. But no, I'm just kidding. We do this. So here's the idea of good. This is I know that I struggle with it. But when it comes to goodness, I have a hard time with it. But a lot of us, this is what we do. We compare our goodness to other people. Because I asked you at the beginning, you remember, Adolf Hitler, bad. Joseph Stalin, bad. Ronald Reagan, good. Great. And we do these things. We talk about all of these people, and we judge our goodness based on that individual's life. We're so good at doing that. We've always done that. We continue to do that. I want to tell you a funny story I heard. And I know you've probably heard it 500, 600, 700 times, but I've got to share this with you. There's this... These two brothers, they were a rowdy bunch of brothers. I don't know. Let's call them George and Billy Bob. George and Billy Bob. Those are pretty good names. We're going to call them George and Billy Bob. And these two brothers, they just lived in a small community. Everybody knew who they were, and they knew how reckless they lived their lives. They knew how mean. They were mean as snakes. They didn't do anything good for anybody. It was always and only to benefit themselves. And so one of the brothers came to the end of his life, and he died. And he wanted a big to-do, kind of a funeral. He wanted everybody to come to the funeral. He wanted the whole community to celebrate his brother. So what he does is he goes to the preacher in town and he says, "Preacher, Billy Bob has died. And I want you to do the service." Preacher says, "Well, I really didn't know Billy Bob that well." Sure, everybody knew Billy Bob, and the preacher was really thinking, "Well, that's what I mean. Everybody knows Billy Bob. So, I guess I can do the service for you. Well, one thing I need you to do, preacher, I just need you sometime during the service, sometime, I just need you to say that Billy Bob was a good old boy. I just need you to say that." And the preacher looked at George and he said, "George, that would be a lie. I can't say that. It's just not true." And George looked at the preacher and he said, "Well, I'll give you $10,000 to donate it to the building fund of your church if you'll just find some kind of way. You put it in there some way and you say, Billy Bob was a good old boy." And so he was preaching his sermon and he was trying to find a way how to incorporate that in there. And he was talking about just how bad old Billy Bob was, that nobody in town liked him, that everybody thought he was just mean as a snake. But he got to the point in the sermon as he was preaching the funeral. He said, "But compared to his brother George, he was a saint." So I think what we do is I know that I struggle being good. I know that's the reality of who I am. And we base our goodness, how I feel about myself, based on how someone else is living their lives. We look at them and we say, "Well, I'm not near as bad as oh so-and-so," or "I'm not near as bad as oh so-and-so." I want to tell you, we're wrong in our assessment of how to base our goodness. We can't base our goodness on how other people are living their lives. We have to base our goodness as believers based on how King Jesus lived his life and how King Jesus told us that you and I are to live every single day. And a lot of people, they look at Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. "Well, I want to live my life according to the Beatitudes." And we look at the Beatitudes and we say, "Well, I'm not a murderer," there at the end of chapter 5. "Well, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I don't lie. I go the second mile sometimes." But the one thing that we miss a lot of times is Matthew 5 verse 48. This is what God says at the end of that that section where he's telling the disciples and those on the mountain how to live their lives. This is what he says. He says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, that's what God requires. He requires perfection. And I want to tell you, I don't believe that there is anyone in here who understands what holy perfection looks like. We have an idea based on what the Word says, but we really don't understand God's complete set of standards. What does God require if you get up to bat? You know, everyone before their first swing, before their first time at bat, you bat 1,000. But as soon as you start swinging away and you begin to miss, that 1,000 comes down to 500 if you begin missing. And, you know, a lot of people average around that 300. But I'm going to tell you, 300 is not perfect. And in God's standard, if you ever plan on making it to heaven, then you have to understand what goodness really looks like. And for God, you have to understand that you can't be good enough to get to heaven. So your goodness must be required, must be seen as something that someone else has done for you. And for us, it's our King Jesus. Because here's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, that's the idea of my heart. That's the idea of your heart. It's desperately wicked all the time. And I want to tell you something that many of you might not agree with, but I think it's worth stating, that when it comes to our goodness, our children don't understand that they're being bad when they're children. They lie just because it's a part of their nature. They steal. You don't have to teach a child how to steal. And many times maybe they don't even know that they're doing it. What you have to do as a parent, what I have to do as a parent, is I have to teach my child not to lie. Agree? I have to teach my child not to steal. A great example is Ellis was maybe 3 years old, and we had gone to Best Buy to, maybe he was four. We had gone to Best Buy to pick up a computer. While we were there at Best Buy, we were leaving, and Ellis had been asking for a pack of gum, and I said, no, you're not getting a pack of gum. So we leave, and I find out that Ellis has this pack of gum, big old pack of gum. He has it stuffed right down in his pocket. It's there. I see him getting it out, and he's unwrapping it, and he's putting a piece in his mouth. Well, we are halfway through Jackson, far away. We're about at Pringles Park at this point. So we're pretty far away from Best Buy. And I say, son, where did you get that? At the store. Well, who paid for it? I don't know. And we turned around. We went back to Best Buy. I took Ellis in there because he had to be taught that was stealing. That was not the right thing to do. And it was my responsibility as a parent to turn the car around. If I had not done that, I would have been telling him or teaching him that it's okay for you to do these things. They're not going to be consequences. But he had to understand the right course of action is for him to learn as a child that stealing is bad. I didn't do anything to teach him what stealing looked like. He saw that he wanted gum, and he knew that he could get it by placing it in his pocket. And so that describes all of us when it comes to who we are. And so we've got to understand that when it comes to goodness, there are going to be a lot of good old boys. There are going to be a lot of good old girls who never make it to heaven. Why, preacher? Why? Because they don't understand number three. Number three is this: goodness won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus will. Goodness won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus will. There's a scripture in Mark chapter 10 of a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he says this, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looks at this rich young ruler. He said, why do you call me good? He wanted to understand. So Jesus, he poses this question to him. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God. God alone. Now, Jesus literally was God in the flesh, so he understood this, but Jesus was trying to teach. Nobody is good except God. And so he didn't tell him, don't call me good. He didn't tell him that. So you got to understand, he accepted the title as saying only God is good. But Jesus is good because, why? He's God. Now I need you to be able to see that. And because he's God, listen to this, he's good. Amen? Because he's God, he's good. But one of the first prayers that we teach our children is, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. How many of you have ever taught your child to say that prayer before meals? God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. We've all done that. That's something that we've taught. And listen to me, listen, the Bible affirms that God is good. And I want to give you three scripture quickly. They're all in Psalm 34 verse 8. Psalm 34 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see. You know, when it comes to a meal, if you've never tried something, maybe it's new to you, you've never heard of it, you come into a restaurant or somewhere, you have an opportunity to taste. Just wet your whistle just a little bit. You take a bite of it and you taste it. You don't know if it's good until you put it in your mouth. You can look at it. It can look like it tastes terrible. It can look wonderful and it tastes bad. You have to taste and see. Yeah, you can't judge a book by its cover. I did that with sushi. Didn't like the way it looked. Thought, that's raw fish. I'm not eating it. But I'm going to tell you, it's one of my favorite. I love sushi. A lot of you are saying, preacher, you eat raw. I do. I eat raw fish. It's good. So, anyway, it's based on my taste buds. So taste and see that the Lord is good. That's God's call to you. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good, it says. And blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalms 86 verse 5 says this. Get this. Psalms 86 verse 5. You are forgiving and good. It's what the psalmist said to God. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. God is forgiving and good. I can confess that God is forgiving. Amen? You can confess that God is forgiving. I can confess that God is good. And then here, Psalms 106 verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. Praise God because he's good. And then when we conclude every single service, I say this. God is good. And you say?
All the time.
All the time. And we say it week after week after week. And let me ask you a question. Do you really understand the concept of God's goodness? We say it. But when the world is crashing down on us, do we continue to say God is good? My prayer is that we do, because we understand God's love, mercy, his grace. We understand these things. And so here's what the scripture says. Listen, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this. It says, when it comes to goodness, for we are God's workmanship. Listen, God created us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So God has created us. I'm God's workmanship. God molded me and he made me just as I am. And then God preordained, God established beforehand that there are certain things that we do in our lives to act out, to show visible signs of goodness, of our goodness. And you have to understand also, as it goes along with that, in Ephesians chapter 2, he says this. It says, we are saved by grace through faith unto good works. So it is faith that saves us, but the reason faith saves us is so that we can, according to the scripture, we can work out our own salvation, not work for your salvation, but we are saved unto good works. But the scripture tells us that it's by faith you have been saved. Listen to me. For it is by faith you have been saved through grace. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest no man can boast. But the sign of your salvation is how you live it out on a daily basis. Is there goodness in you? When people look at you, do they say, oh, he's a good old boy. Oh, she's a good old girl. Is that how it is with you? Or let me ask you this, like these children who came this morning, they have such faith in their God. Their desire wasn't to please you. Their desire was to honor God. When they came, when they sang, when they read scriptures, Riley Cat did, And just to stand, they weren't doing this to be in front of a crowd. They were doing this for, I believe, the crowd of one. They were doing it to honor King Jesus. And so when you're living your life, let me ask you, are you living it for the crowd of one? Are you living your life to honor God with how you live? So Scripture tells us this. Jesus said, Matthew 5:16, says, let your light shine before men. Let your light so shine before men, meaning doing good works and glorifying the Father are inclusive. When you live your life out loud for King Jesus, everybody sees that you're doing that. And that's okay if you already remember the scripture we talked about, humbling yourself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, He will lift you up. So you do good works, not so that you can be seen by the people of the world. You act good so that your Father can see you, our Heavenly Father. That's why we live the way we live. That's why we act the way we act as believers. Goodness, this fruit that we're to bear in our lives is so God will be glorified. If you can walk down any street in Henderson, I'm going to tell you, you go do a survey, you can ask anybody just about. I'm going to say 98% of the people that you come in contact with, if you ask them, how do you get to heaven? They're going to say by being good or by doing good. Right? I think probably there's even some of you in here who have made that kind of statement before. How do you get to heaven? By being good. Why would God let you in? Well, because I'm good. You know, I've not murdered, I've not stole, I've not lied a lot. So why would God let you in? And your answer can be nothing less than this. Because I've trusted the one He sent to die for me. That has to be your response. Nothing less will do. So in closing, we're getting ready to close. Guys, if you want to come up, you come on up now. You ask these people, how do you get to heaven? They're going to say, be good. But I want to tell you, this is what, as they're making their way up, you keep focusing on me. As they're making their way up, here's how you go to heaven. John 3:16, and I need you to do this. This was in my scroll article this week. This is what you do. For God so loved the world, and then I want you to substitute your name in there this morning. And I need you to do this. We're going to participate. I told you this is a participation kind of Sunday. And so, as you think about John 3:16, how many of you can quote John 3:16 from memory? All right, put John 3:16 up on the board real quick. Won't take him but a second to do that. Most of you, I know you can do that. I would say probably 99% of you can. But we're going to get it up on the screen, John 3:16. All right, it's making its way up there. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He's going to get that up. And I want you to join me. And as you join me, this is what I want to do. For God so loved the world. When He gets to the world, I want you to do this. I want you to say, for God so loved Brad. Or for God so loved Jamie. Or for God so loved Kathy. I want you to put your name right there. It's going to be up in just a second. Because I need you to get this. I want you to read it with me. For God so loved Brad that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Brad believes in Him, I will not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that good? Listen, for God so loves Brad. God loves me. For God so loves Charles. Charles, God loves you, doesn't He? For God so loves us. He didn't leave it for you to wonder what heaven was going to be like or how to get there. He told you, point blank, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And then this wonderful little piece of Scripture here, for God so loved Brad that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Brad believes in Him, bread shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you say that this morning? As we've gathered together, as we've talked about goodness, I need you to understand that I don't care how good you can be. I don't care how well you can claim goodness. Your trip to heaven is not based on how good you are. Your trip to heaven is based on your relationship with Jesus. So maybe you're here this morning and maybe you begin to understand. Isn't it good to know that Jesus loves you? Isn't it good, guys? Yeah. So maybe you're here this morning and you've never really understood that God is that kind of a God. Maybe you've never really understood that He loves you that much, that He would send His Son to die for you. And if that's you this morning, if that's where you are, then we're going to have an invitation time. These guys are going to continue to sing, and we're going to stand, and we're just going to offer an opportunity for you to come and for you to respond to whatever God's calling you to do this morning. But maybe you're here this morning, and you know you're saved. You know you've trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But maybe you're here this morning, and you thought you had goodness figured out, but you realized this morning that you were wrong. And maybe you just need to come and you just need to bow your head at the foot of the cross, so to speak. And just need to ask God if God would help you have a better understanding of what goodness looked like. Goodness doesn't look like Adolf Hitler. Goodness doesn't look like Joseph Stalin. Goodness looks like one who has given his life to Jesus. Billy Graham. A friend to the right or to the left of you. Brother Brad. So today, what decision would you make? Would you stand as they sing, "You Come," this morning?
You are good when there's nothing good in me. You are loved on display for all to see. You are life
today? What has God laid on your heart? What do you need to share with God? What do you need God to know about you and your situation this morning? Would you come and you pray? You come right where you are.